Please pray with me. Father, you who gave up your very Son so that we may experience life in you, Lord, I ask that you would be with our words and our thoughts tonight, that we may not hang on to any lie of the enemy, but that we would see in this your story of redemption for our souls the truth of who we are. Open up our hearts to receive your word. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So a couple of months ago, my wife Julie and I were in a store, and we had been in the store about maybe 30 seconds, a minute, not long, and we heard a commotion behind us, and when we turned to see what this commotion was, we saw these two ladies with these extra large suitcases wheeling them to the front door. They weren't just simply wheeling them gingerly to the checkout line. They were moving probably about as fast as they could, making a beeline to the door. And the alarm went off, and we looked at the guy working by the counter, and he's stiff as a board. He has no idea what to do. Julie and I, we just kind of looked at each other. We have no idea what to do. We're just like, what? You know, this is actually going down right now. And we did what everybody else in the store was doing. We peered outside the window. And we saw what I really can only describe as like an exercise in criminal geometry, because the suitcases that they had stolen from the store were too large to fit in their compact car. And so now you see these two ladies working fervently to get these suitcases maneuvered into their car. And they can't do it. And it seems like minutes, right? Eventually, they got them in the car, and they drove away, and there's this trail of stuff just kind of in the parking lot where they just fell out. And it's, in some ways, it's comical, but in another way, it represents, I think, the depravity on so many levels of the human heart. And as I began to really reflect on that experience, I realized what these two ladies were doing very openly and very visibly is what I think we often do in the silent privacy of our hearts all the time. They stepped in to their sin-broken lives, and somewhere along the way they determined, I can be my own solution. I can fix myself. Richard Rohr, who's a Jesuit priest and a theologian, author, he says there's two ways of prophecy that we often get. One is to go to an enslaved people and say, you're free. That's the way of Moses, he says. The other way is to go to a people who think that they're free and say, you are enslaved. That's the way of Jesus. When we begin to face the yuck and the pain and the hurt and the sin brokenness of our lives and the shame, I think we're face to face with one of the most frightening questions we will ever ask in our life. The question is this: what can I hold on to? What can I grab? What can I stand on that's going to give me some stability so that I don't get tossed back and forth by the weight of the world? What can I hold on to? And in Hebrews 10, I think what we're getting is two ways of responding to this question. The first way is what I want to call revolving door spirituality. It's all of the effort, but there's never any nearness to God. You just keep going around, around in a circle. You want to have something to hold on to. You grab hold of the door, and you just keep circling around and around and around. Whatever your life ritual may be, you can get stuck, but you never, ever, ever go inside the building. Lies. Lies of the enemy. Lies like, you're nothing special. I don't really want to be around you. Don't come near me. Intense self-criticism. We do it all the time. We're just spinning around in that revolving door of whatever ritual we found. Our addictions, our hurts, the way that we treat others. We're looking for freedom. We're looking for some way out, but we're stuck in the door. And our efforts are just mere shadows. Mere shadows of the freedom that we long for. We know our own self-generated solutions will never deliver us. They'll never set us free. They'll never forgive our sins. Revolving door spirituality without the cross is always empty. It's always complete. And I'm not sure that's a whole lot different than what's going on in Hebrews 10 when we read that chapter in its entirety, which we didn't do. But in 10 verse 11, which isn't, I don't think, in your bulletin, we read, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away our sin. Revolving door spirituality, revolving door religious ritual, it's always unfinished without the cross. Do you know that before the priesthood of Christ, the priests in the temple, they never sat down? They never sat down. Their work was literally never finished. It just seems so exhausting to us. I think it's why it's so profound when we read in Hebrews 10 that Christ sat down. He completed the work. There's a second way. It's not the revolving door spirituality, but it's a second way we respond to the question, what can I hold on to? And it's the way of the cross. In our hearts, in the depths of our souls, we all long for sanctuary. I love that word, sanctuary. We use it oftentimes in our common language to describe maybe a piece of land that's been set aside and now protected for wildlife. It's preserved. It's kind of a sacred space. Theologically, sanctuary means holy place. We long for holy place. We desire holy place. We are created for. It's our life purpose. And the way of the cross brings us into holy place. In Hebrews we read, it's a new and living way. It's a new way because it's never been done like this before. Prior to Christ, it's the priest on one day a year goes into the Holy of Holies. The high priest goes into the Holy of Holies one day a year, one person to atone for sins. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Nearness to the Lord for the people? That was off limits to them. It was forbidden. The holy place was forbidden. And in Jesus, we see that the cross actually makes way for us to enter into the holy place. It's accessible to us. It's new. It's also living because we can now draw near to the Lord. It's not our rituals that draw us near to the Lord. It's not our habits that save us. This is what the author of Hebrews says. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. The way of the cross is not a revolving door. It is a door. It's a cross. And we walk through this door through the cross, through the suffering of Jesus Christ, that he has bled and died for each one of us. Everyone can draw near. He's inviting all of us to come through the doorway of the cross so that we can do what our hearts so long and desire and be in holy place and draw near to him. Sometimes all of our stuff that we're grabbing and we're trying to shove in the getaway car, it just takes us in a complete different direction. It's not drawing near to the Lord. It's cycling over and over and over and over again. It's exhausting. We want freedom, not a revolving door. We want freedom. We want Jesus Christ. We want holy place. And tonight, in just a few moments, we're going to have a time when the cross is actually going to be processed, and it'll be sitting right here for us. And some of you are ready for that, and your soul, it just yearns to come and bring your life before the Lord. And I rejoice in that. But for some of us, the lie that we cannot enter in, whatever form, whatever variation that lie is taking in your life, that you're not special, that you're not noticed, that you don't belong, whatever that is, would you come forward tonight and just nail that specific lie right to the cross? Jesus has already done that for us in his death. And if you have nothing to say to the Lord, remember these words, his final words to us before he died. Let these words cover over the lies of our heart. Jesus says, "It is finished." May we receive those holy words completely and utterly over all the darkness. And may his light shine in us, even on this night of his death. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.